But Acts chapter 16, and we'll read verses 4 and 5. We won't read the whole scripture. It's a long portion of scripture, and then we'll just preach on the verses that follow. Amen. But in Acts chapter 16, in verses 4 and 5, it says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Let's pray and ask God to help us as we preach. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. My Lord, help me to be concise in what I say, Lord. Help me to be mindful of the time, but at the same time, Lord, just help me to be a blessing and a help to each person here, and to help them to remember that as we send missionaries to foreign countries, each of us have a calling and a command of you to be missionaries to this to the people around us every day, dear Lord. Help us as we preach, because without you, we can't do nothing, dear Lord. We just pray that you'll hide us behind your cross. Give us power to preach in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we'll go quickly here, and basically what we're going to preach on tonight, we'll skip a lot of just chit-chat, amen, but what we're going to preach on tonight is on being a missionary, and on being a missionary as we preach, it's an opportunity for us to kind of give you our heart and tell you what we want to do, while at the same time remembering that each one of us have a commandment to be missionaries to the lost world around us. If you see Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And many times as we have missionaries by our churches, and as we look at the work of missions, we always remember and emphasize the uttermost parts of the earth. But we have to remember that that the Lord knew the order of the importance of which he was speaking. And the main assignment he gave the apostles, and the main thing he let them know, was that their first duty and their first chore was to reach Jerusalem. Their hometown, their home city, was their first responsibility. And so it's important for us to remember that all of us have the responsibility of being missionaries. And I say this a lot in churches, and hopefully it offends no one, but giving to an offering plate to send missionaries to the other side of the globe does not take away the responsibility of telling your neighbor about Christ. And so as we preach, we see the responsibility of the missionary. The first thing we see there in verses 4 and 5 was their care for the churches. And two things we notice about that. One was the love and the care they had for the churches in verses 4 and 5 as they went to each of these churches to leave decrees from the apostles at Jerusalem to further establish the churches. As missionaries, as Christians, our love should be for the church that God has put us in. And we should be there faithfully and try to establish it and grow it and strengthen it as we are a part of that church. If you see the, we won't go there, but if you see the book of Revelation, chapter 1, at the end of the verse, the Bible talks about Jesus walking around in the seven candlesticks. And if you continue reading through verses 2 and 3, you see that those candlesticks are local churches that John is writing to tell them what the message from the Lord. But what we understand is that they are candlesticks, and that is such a beautiful picture. See, the Lord could have said he was walking between the seven candles, and that would have signified one light only in one place. But what it says is candlesticks. And a candlestick is composed of many candles that make a greater radiance and greater light to fill up a room. And as a church, we ought to love our church because it is our candlestick. And each individual Christian is a candle that composes that candlestick that gives us the ability to shine brighter in our community and to the world around us. And so we ought to love the church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 25 that Jesus gave his life for the church. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21 says that Jesus, that all glory be to him through the church. And so the glory and the honor comes to God through the church. He gave his life for the church. And so I think that the church is important to our Lord. And so as individuals, we ought to love the church that God gave us. And as missionaries on a foreign field, there is the care of the churches. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, Paul said, besides these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And so we see the importance of the churches and the importance of establishing churches. And as we go, as missionaries, our goal is to establish churches. It's not to start a church, but to establish churches. And as we establish more churches, we still have that responsibility to strengthen that which we've already started, so they may stand firm and bring honor and glory to the Lord. And then we see not only that, but we see that a missionary must be guided by the Spirit. In verse number 6, the Bible tells us that they tried to go into Asia. The Bible says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So they tried to go to Asia, verse 7, and they would come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul on the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. We see as missionaries, we must be guided of the Spirit. Paul, as we see here, tries time and time again to go into a new city to preach the word of God, but the Holy Spirit restrains him. He stops him. He says, go on a little farther. And Paul keeps on trying to go in these different cities, but he must be guided by the Spirit as where he is to go. And in verse 9, we see the Spirit send him a vision to go into Macedonia. But it wasn't just a matter of Paul taking a dart and throwing it on a map and saying, hey, this is where I'm going to go. And so likewise, as missionaries, we must be guided of God as to where we're going to go. Many people, when we go to their churches, they'll ask us, hey, Mexico? Are you sure? You know, next to Iraq and Afghanistan, there's not many places you probably ought to try to avoid as far as countries go. I mean, there's a lot of violence there. There's a lot of kidnapping down there. There's a lot of things that go on that aren't probably the top things you pick for your family to be around. But the thing we have to understand is that I'm not going of my own will. I'm not going of my own decision, but God has compelled me. His love has constrained me, and in my heart, He pulls me, and he burdens me to go and preach the word in Mexico. And so each Christian must remember that Romans 12 and verse 2 tells us that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must understand that God has a perfect will for our life and always seek to be in the center of His will. Then we see not only they were guided by the Spirit, but they had a great work ethic. In chapter 16 and verse 14, we see Paul. He says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned, said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Chapter 17, verse 2, the Bible says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now here he's already in Thessalonica, amen. And then we see in verse 17, the Bible says, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. One of the things we see about Paul is he had a great work ethic for the Lord. As missionaries, we must always be about the work that God's called us to do. Hey, you may say, well, brother, why does a missionary need support? Why does a missionary need to be full-time? Why? Well, one of the things is in these countries, many times there's not a way for the missionary to make a living in that place. But also, if a missionary has the work ethic and he dedicates all his time to the ministry, he can do many things. As you see Paul, he was constantly busy about God's work. But even as missionaries, in the sense of the word, each individual Christian, we ought to have a work ethic for the Lord. There ought not be a day that goes by where you don't speak the name of Jesus to a lost soul. I mean, it seems unusual, and many in our country would say it fanatical if you begin to live that way. But if you look at the New Testament church, and if you look at the apostles and the people there at the church in Jerusalem, and even as Paul began to start more churches, their habit and what they did was proclaim the name of Jesus. They were persecuted for it. They were reviled for it. They were mistreated for it. But they were dedicated to giving the word of God out, to teaching the gospel of Christ. Do you have a work ethic for the Lord? As a commandment that he's given us in Acts 1:8, that each one of us should be a missionary, are you working for him? Or is it a Sunday thing? Are you like a professional athlete who throws on the helmet and pads on Sunday, but the rest of the week you walk around in street clothes? Nobody would be able to recognize you because that 88 or that number which you wear, that jersey which you wear, no longer is on you to identify you. That is the life that many Christians live today. We dress up for Sunday. We draw on our Christian smile, and we get our Christian walk, and we get our Christian talk. But if you went to our workplace, to our school place, to the place where people really know us, and you ask how we live, many of us would be embarrassed at what they would say about us. Would you be okay if the preacher went to where you live, to where you work, and just said, "Hey, I'm from so-and-so's church, and we're just coming over here to invite you to church, and we know that he's been a good example"? Would that be the part where you blushed? Are you living for Christ? Do you have a work ethic for him? But also we see that a Christian sometimes will suffer. Verses 20 through 24, we see, we won't read all of it, but we see that they bring them to the magistrates, and they lay many stripes upon them in verse 23. In verse 24, they throw them into the inner prison, and their feet are fast in stocks. And so we see that these missionaries had to suffer sometimes. If you see 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse number 24 through 28, Paul talks about the sufferings of the Jews. "Five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Hey, Paul didn't discuss his life as a missionary as one of glamour. He had to suffer for the name of Christ. The Bible mentions all the perils he went through. We see that he was weary and weak. We see that he was lonely. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their account." You see, Paul had suffered perils. He had suffered weariness at doing the work of God. And he had even stood alone when no man would stand with him.